This is Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride, and you are listening to original music composed for Juno Ghostlight Theater's radio play, Dracula. It'll air on KTOO this Thursday night at 7. You can stream it on our website as well, ktoo.org. So, mark your calendars. Just want to put you on notice that this radio play airs only one time. And here to give you some reasons to do that, we have three members from Juno Ghostlight Theater. Roblin Davis, director of Dracula, one of the voice actors, Heather Laverne, she plays Dracula, and the producer of this radio play, Kate Ross. Well, Roblin, let's start with you, because these days, you know, nothing is left to the imagination. TV and movies, they all bring us all the gory details and leave absolutely nothing to the imagination.
Well, it is a wonderful story, and radio theater, radio plays are a great way to, I don't know, inspire our imaginations just by listening to the stories and how you put a radio play together. It's wonderful for the dramatic stories like Dracula, I would say.
These days, almost everything is pictured for us, you know, the horror of everything. What is scary about just hearing about something? Do you think it potentially is even more scary?
Well, it can be. The great thing about art is we do want to meet our audience's imagination and allow for everyone in the audience to kind of imagine their own version of the story. And so just doing it with voices and sound effects and music, I think allows for that in the audience so that they can create kind of their own unique version of it.
So where does this script for this radio play come from?
So this version of Dracula, I actually found a while ago when I was sifting through transcripts of old radio plays that were broadcast in the 1930s. I had read a couple of other Dracula scripts. It sounded like a really fun story that I wanted to produce for radio, but I wasn't really sold on some of the other scripts I had read. And I came across this transcript of the 1938 broadcast of Orson Welles' adaptation of Dracula. And I read the transcript and immediately fell in love with it. It was leaps and bounds better than any other of the Dracula scripts I had read in terms of being for the radio, since it was originally written for radio. So as soon as I found that and started looking into whether or not we could perform it, I was thrilled when I found out that it would be good to go, that we could do the 1938 version.
What appealed to you about that version?
Well, for one, it was written for radio. So there were a lot of things built in, both story arc wise and just with the sound effects and everything else, that it really was written for radio. So there wasn't a lot of, you know, editing on our side for that. The other thing was just Orson Welles' language that he used, especially for Dracula and Mina Harker more towards the end, was just beautiful. It had this romance to it that I really think speaks to the times, as opposed to other scripts I read that were maybe a little more just too much about the violence and not as much about the mental aspect. So some of those Dracula lines really, really got me.
So does this pretty much follow the Bram Stoker novel as far as the plot goes?
Yeah, it does. So Orson Welles actually adapted it directly from the Bram Stoker novel.
So one of the things that everybody enjoys about that novel is all the things that are happening, you know, the people who are suddenly falling ill or who have two strange punctures in their neck. And what could it be? What's causing this? And everybody that's reading it is going, come on, there's a vampire, you know, there's a vampire in there. Does this play have that same quality to it?
I'd say that it does, for sure, that it's kind of slowly unveiled for the characters. Mostly Van Helsing kind of has an inkling, and he's probably the first to say there are such things as vampires, even though everyone else is like, ah, come on, really?
So Heather, how did you enjoy adapting this story to radio?
I thought it was just a really cool opportunity for us. We had done a radio play back in March, and that was based on Sherlock Holmes stories, and to do Dracula in October, it got me very excited for this season. And this one's a little bit longer. Our original in March was only a half hour long. This is a full hour. It feels very of the radio era. So everything about it just made me feel like we were a part of something that it's a little bit, I don't know, radio magic, I guess. I thought it was beautiful.
How many characters are in this play, Roblin?
Yeah, there's about a dozen, maybe 15 or so. All of our actors are playing at least two of those characters.
Heather, you play two parts, I understand.
I do. I play Dracula and I play the ship captain. It's an interesting fate aboard his ship. I think I throw in a couple little voices there. Otherwise, there's a couple one line parts that we all got to do as well. So multiple characters.
So what's that like as an actor or actress, instead of appearing on the stage or playing to a camera, but playing to a microphone?
Yeah, it's a different muscle. When you're acting on stage, you have to use your full body and your facial expressions, and you're able to use those with your voice to tell the story and to create the character. But with radio, you can do those things, but the audience doesn't see it. So you really have to put a lot more into your voice, and that energy still has to be there, but it all has to come through your voice in order to convey what you're trying to get across to the audience.
So I understand that this play has sound effects.
Oh, does it ever?
You want to tell us about some of the choice sound effects that we might hear?
I would love to. First, I just have to shout out our lead Foley artist, Kelsey Riker. So Foley is what we call this type of sound effects we're making, where we're making them in real life and then recording them. So we're using physical objects rather than pulling pre-existing sound effects from some online library. So Kelsey was a fantastic lead artist for us on this and compiling everything. So we met up and recorded a bunch in my garage, actually. And my garage was full of hammers and nails and the wind machine over here and some metal and some, you know, all sorts of different fun things to make all the different sound effects.
So are there like recipes for sounds?
That's a great question. I made up a couple of my own recipes. I did some of our Foley for the Sherlock Holmes radio show back in March. The carriage one was actually one in particular. A lot of the other sound effects are just a one thing. Like if it's a hammer pounding a nail, just a hammer pounding a nail. But the carriage is either two or three different layers, depending on what type of carriage it is. But you have horse hoof beats, and then carriage wheels rolling, and then the tack jingling on the carriage and on the horses themselves. So we figured out actually Tupperware, empty Tupperware on the floor makes really great hoof beats. And we found a couple different ways to make carriage wheels. And then for the jingling, I think I ended up using a couple of my purses and just shaking them. And it's when you layer it all together, it sounds like a carriage going down the street.
All right, let's listen. Now, there is something magic about that you made your own sounds.
Yeah, it's a really fun aspect, and something that I think makes this radio play really unique is that we decided that for Sherlock Holmes, we were going to make all of them, and we kept that going into this for Dracula. And I think it just adds, I don't know exactly what, some sort of special something, and it makes it more real, more intimate, makes it not sound like something canned, if that makes sense.
Well, when you watch a movie, you know, and you see the blood dripping from Dracula's fangs, you sort of feel terror, but how do you simulate that kind of terror with audio?
Well, that's where our sound designer and sound editor, Rasha McChesney, has actually come in a lot. She's taking all of these different aspects of the recorded actors and all of the recorded sound effects. And then we also have brilliant original music from Paige Sparks, who's a piano player. And so Rosh is taking all these elements and putting them together in this way that really weaves the story and brings that sense of atmosphere, whether it's thunder to start a scene or a little bit of piano under something. So I think the sound design of bringing all of those elements together makes a huge difference.
So let's talk about when someone gets punctured in the neck by Dracula. Do we get to hear that?
Maybe. It's pretty gruesome. We were making some pretty funny faces when we recorded that. I won't give away too much, but I will say that it involved a watermelon. So make of that what you will.
So in other words, you simulated puncture marks by puncturing a watermelon.
Yes, we did.
And you think that's pretty scary if you don't know what it is and you just hear it?
Oh, absolutely. Even hearing it in real life when we were the ones doing it, it sounded pretty gruesome. So hearing it in the context of Heather's amazing Dracula voice and all the other sound effects and music. And so to hear something like that, it's effective.
Of course, everybody will want to hear the neck biting.
Well, we're going to save some of that for the show. So you'll have to listen in to hear those particular sound effects.
But I understand that that watermelon got a lot of use.
It did. You know, it takes a lot of tries sometimes to get just the right sickening, puncture noise.
Okay, I guess you're not going to let us hear these puncture sounds for now.
It's absolutely incredible. It's the dramatic conclusion of the whole thing, and it just sounds amazing. So you'll have to listen into our broadcast to hear it.
Okay. So what were some of your other favorite sounds?
The thunder was very fun to do. It took a couple people. We had to experiment with a couple different ways of doing it, but basically it's just a big piece of sheet metal and we shake it. And the way you shake it or pound on it or do things like that makes thunder sounds.
Okay, let's let our listeners see if they can picture thunder when they hear this. So it all comes together with dialogue and sound effects. So I understand that you've chosen something for us to hear to give us a flavor of what we're going to hear when the play is presented on the radio. What have you chosen? Set the scene for us.
Yes. So this scene is fairly early on in the play where most of the characters don't really know what's going on around them yet. And this scene takes place on a ship where something strange seems to be happening.
Something strange. Okay, let's hear it.
Log of the Demeter, July 6th. Finished taking in cargo, a queer cargo, boxes of earth. At noon, set sail. East wind, fresh. Crew, 4 hands, 2 mates, cook, and myself, captain. July 11th, entered Bosporus. At dark, passed through Dardanelles. Mate reported in morning that one of crew, Viodin, was missing.
Took larboard watch, 8 bells last night. He was relieved by Talisian, who never came to his bunk. There's something aboard the ship. No, don't laugh, Captain. In the rain last night.
Oh?
A tall, thin man go up the companionway and along the deck forward and disappear. When I go to the bow, no one, and the hatchways were all closed.
July 22nd. Rough weather last 3 days. All hands busy with sails. No time be frightened. Past Gibraltar and out through straits. All well. July 24th. Last night, another hand was lost. Disappeared.
Like Talisian. He come off his watch at midnight and we never see him again.
You take your watch now.
I don't take watch alone no more.
Nor will I.
No more. Double watch.
Double watch.
July 29th. Had single watch tonight as crew too tired to double. When morning come...
Hey! Hey, below! Bollocky! Hey, Bollocky, below!
Bollocky's gone like the others.
Like all the others!
The mate and I have agreed to go armed henceforth. July 30th, last night. We are nearing England. Weather fine. All sails set.
Captain! Captain! The men on watch are missing. More missing!
Now, only self and mate and one hand left to work ship. August 3rd. 2 days of fog and not a sail sighted. At midnight, I went to relieve the man at wheel. And when I got to it, I found no one there.
It's here. I know it now. I saw it. Like a man, tall and thin and ghastly pale. It was in the bows looking out. I gave it the knife. And my knife went through it, empty as the air.
What are you talking about?
It's here. And I'll find it. It's in the hold. It's in one of those boxes of earth. I'll unscrew them one by one and see, and see.
He's mad. Stark raving mad. It's no use my trying to stop him. He can't hurt those big boxes. They are invoiced as common earth.
Ah! He's there, down in the hold. I know the secret now. The sea will save me from him. That's all that's left.
That's all that's left!
Heather, you played Dracula, but we didn't hear Dracula in that scene.
No, he's there, but he's not talking. He's too busy biting, I think.
Well, you sound very warm and friendly right now, and it's hard to picture you as Dracula from the way you sound right now, your normal speaking voice. Can you give us a little taste of Dracula?
Sure. So Dracula, he does this thing in the play where he essentially hypnotizes his victims, allows them to go into a trance so that he can bite them. The way that he does that is by slowly moving in and goes,
"Flesh of my flesh, blood of my blood, blood of my blood."
So that's my Dracula.
It's so authentic.
Thank you. Yeah, I had to become undead for a moment, but I'm back now.
So, Roblin, what are your favorite parts of the play that you think that listeners will really enjoy?
Well, the mystery. It's a really interesting story that has a little bit of romance, a lot of mystery, a little bit of horror. So all of those threads weave together into a really compelling story.
Gosh, this sounds like this was so much fun, almost as much fun to put together as it is to listen to.
You know, it was so lovely to work with the cast. What a very talented group. And we did a lot of rehearsals over Zoom, but then when we actually got together in a safe way to rehearse a few times in person, that was just so lovely to be working in a creative way with a group of people again. So this is one way that Juno Ghostlight Theater is able to continue putting out creative work for our community. Just want to really say thank you thank you to KTOO for airing it as well, to give our listening audience, you know, an hour of compelling, rich, theatrical radio experience.
Well, it is exciting that Juno Ghostlight Theater has been able to keep going during the pandemic and I guess has sort of risen to the occasion with an alternative to a live production that still gives all the actors and actresses and directors and theater company members an outlet. Kate, do you think that you're going to stay with us and maybe not return to in-person? It seems like you've discovered some magic.
Yeah, absolutely. The magic that's there. I had no idea I would have such a passion for radio dramas. I mean, I knew I liked radio theater, but I didn't know it would be this much fun. As far as for Juno Ghostlight Theater, we will absolutely return to in-person live productions once it is fully safe to do so. However, we're a very, very small theater company. We're run entirely by a board of volunteers. So to do anything larger and in person at the moment isn't feasible, but we will continue looking at radio until we can return to in person. And, you know, even when we're back to being able to gather in person safely, I think we're going to keep doing radio shows. This is too much fun to stop doing. I think it's going to be part of our repertoire for a long time.
So people have only one evening to hear this. Just one opportunity. Seems like a lot of work for just one performance.
That's true, but I think of other events around town that maybe it's a live concert that's a one night only thing. And it would be fun to do a run of shows. But to me, part of the magic of doing it in general is trying to evoke this sense of old time radio dramas where it would be a serial. It would happen every week, the same time. A family or maybe a group of friends would all, you know, gather around the radio to listen in a very purposeful and intentional way. So I really like that aspect. And that's something that we're kind of trying to go after with having this be a one-time broadcast.
You can't have audio on demand then.
No, unfortunately, not the way that we're doing it right now. We are looking into options of potentially being able to, whether it's rebroadcast or have people listen at another time. But for right now, it's one time only. So set your calendars, everybody.
All right. So give us the particulars one more time so we don't miss it.
Yeah. So Juno Ghostlight Theater presents Dracula Thursday, October 21st at 7 p.m. on KTOO 104.3. Or you can listen online at ktoo.org/listen.
All right, Heather, give me your best Dracula voice and encourage people to tune in.
Okay.
Juno, get your radio set. It's time to listen to Dracula on October 21st at 7 p.m.
Well, this has been absolutely delightful. Thank you for giving us this preview. Roblin Davis, director of Dracula. Heather Laverne, a voice actor and also playing Dracula. Kate Ross, the producer, all from Juno Ghostlight Theater. We also want to give thanks to Paige Sparks and Rasha McChesney here at KTOO for sharing some of the music and the sound effects.